If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Really? Come on. There could be 25 women, you could fall in love with one, and she might not feel the same.
I love you.
As far as being in love, I've certainly moved on.
I am in love with you, Jalen.
Well, there's no good way, but this is the best way. People have now meet this way, right?
Hello, Internet. I'm gonna cry.
Adam,
or throw up.
Adam might do both.
Man, it's like, you ever watch TV and you feel every range of emotion?
Yes, that's what Game of Thrones is like, and I wish you would actually watch it.
No.
Sometimes Scandal, old Scandal was like that.
I don't love anyone on old Scandal like I love Princess Christina.
This was a really...
What an episode of TV.
Tough episode of television. And you know, as Chris Harrison has said previously, this is the most dramatic season of The Bachelor ever. I think this one actually is.
Wow. This is such a good season.
This is actually a good
season. I did not think this is going to be a good season. I thought Nick is going to ruin it because he's terrible. And he is.
He is ruining it. Let us not forget that.
Let's not forget. He is terrible.
He is awful. He is the worst.
He's like a mess of just weird emotions.
Just a mess of them.
But wow, what a season it is. And
we have a lot to talk about.
We
need to come on, Adam.
We need to keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
Let's start with the end of the road. Let's start with just the riffraff. End of the road, we lost Danielle M.
Let's not call it riffraff, because at this point we've gotten to really develop these relationships with these women. I wouldn't call Danielle M riffraff.
I would say
that she did not make the kind of impression on me as some other people, even though I did enjoy her and thought she was really very nice.
She has the least personality of anybody left.
Right.
That much is true.
That is true.
She has the least personality, and like, it's clear that she's been winning for a long time, and she just got sort of comfortable sitting on her heels and being in a share of the lead, and I think she just kind of got
boring. Well, and I just honestly think that, you know, he got really close with a couple of people, you know, right there in the middle, and kind of shocked himself to say, oh God, the people that I thought I really liked at the beginning of this thing are not people I'm into anymore. Like what happened with Danielle L, exactly the same thing.
I think, first of all, I think they're two different things, because Danielle L is hot.
Yes.
And Danielle M is not.
No.
Actually, no. Danielle L is not hot. This is something I wanted to bring up tonight.
Oh, God. Okay.
This is something I wanted to bring up.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Danielle L is sexy. There's a range of different words you can use, and they all mean different things.
Right.
And this season, we have candidates who represent the different
the
words.
The spectrum of right? Cute.
Yes.
Hot.
Danielle L.
Sexy.
Yes. Danielle L is sexy.
Yes. She right? is very sexy. Yes.
She is. She is somebody who you would want to, you know, have intercourse with.
Have the sex with.
But, like, you know, you don't necessarily want to, like, run into her arms when you come home. Which is exactly how I feel about Christina.
That's how you feel
who
about
is
Christina.
Cute.
She's so cute.
She's cute.
She's cute hot.
She's cute hot, which is just, like an extreme end of the cute scale.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And then you have Vanessa, who is either beautiful or gorgeous, which I think are the same word.
Right. Okay.
She's, like, stunningly good looking.
Yes.
In a way where you're like, that should be Miss America.
Yes.
Or I guess in her case, Miss Canada.
Oh, gross.
Right?
Who would want to be that?
All three of those words mean different things.
Right. Rachel also is part of the cute spectrum.
I feel like she's cute, but bordering on hot.
Oh, okay.
Like the other three are very firmly in their own camps.
Right.
I feel like Rachel is trying to bridge the cute,
the
hot,
cute, hot
thing.
Bridge. Got it.
You know,
to me,
she doesn't do it like Christina does it, because the hotness is effortless.
I mean, yeah, it is.
Anyway, Danielle M does not have anything, really.
I feel really bad for her, because I think Nick wanted that to be something, because they had this sort of Midwest connection. But I mean, I get it, I guess. I mean, you could tell that, you know, when they were on the date, he wasn't really talking to her. And I mean, even on their first date was kind of awkward like that too. So it didn't really seem like they were talking to each other that much, which is kind of sad.
I think there's just a point in like the relationship scouting process where you have to look at a person and say, am I really going to be excited to come home to this person
every
day?
Single day.
And I think that would be hard for her. With her.
So we're sorry, Danielle. We'll miss you.
Let's talk about the big one.
Wow.
Or the little one, depending on...
This rocked my entire world.
Your entire world.
Okay, okay, Adam. This also rocked your entire world. You know, Christina was the darkest of horses. She might as well have been the black stallion.
I literally feel like I'm going to throw up.
Okay, but don't throw up. Not on the good couch, okay?
Not on the microphone.
Not on the microphone.
We got this new microphone.
This is a Christmas gift. Don't throw up on the microphone. So, like, Christina came out of the gate with this, like, incredible poise and then the story about her being an orphan and everything. And then, like, the connection that she had with Nick on the group date today. Like, this totally...
She was just... hands down winning episodes.
Came
like
out
three,
of nowhere.
3 or 4 weeks in a row. She just won the whole episode.
And then, like, remember what we were talking about the other week where, you know, she said this whole story about her family and going home to meet them. And I was like, there's no way that she's telling this story.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be able to see this family of people that adopted this Russian orphan.
Princess.
Princess.
That's what I said. I was like, how could you not want to meet that family?
I agree. And especially from a family of like 48 people. Like, these are the people that he should be with. This makes so much sense.
It like, I feel like I got punched. I can't get over how bad I feel about this.
Here's the only thing that I can rationalize this with.
I'm not going to hit
it. Like, I'm going to try.
You say what you want, but I'm...
I'm going to try. Adam is so
upset.
You
might as well speak Russian.
I'm going to...
Like she does.
Okay. I think what might have happened is, you know, Christina has been through, clearly, a lot.
Everything.
Like, everything. Like, you could say something to Christina like, oh, I broke my leg when I was 6. And she'd be like, oh, I was eating lipstick around that time.
I ate lipstick. And because of that expensive consumption, my mom threw me out of the house and I was like 6.
6. So, oh, I'm so sorry you broke your leg. So, I think maybe what is my theory or what could have been my theory about this is that, you know, Nick has a lot of emotions. He has he has a lot of feelings. They are everywhere. They are all over the place all the time. And I think among all of the things that Nick is looking for in a partner, he is also looking for somebody that is going to be able to comfort him. And Christina, who sees Nick's problems as small potatoes, is not going to be able to coddle him and comfort him.
She doesn't even know what potatoes are. There was no food in the house.
Honey.
No food. You'd be like, small potatoes. She'd be like, what is that?
I don't even know what that is. I didn't know potatoes came in different sizes. I had no idea.
I don't know what potatoes are.
I don't know what potatoes are.
I only ate cleaning products and beauty supplies.
And lipstick. I'm basically that woman that was on my Strange Addiction who ate Comet. That's me. So.
But it wasn't her Strange Addiction. It was her regular dinner.
It was her real life. So. Maybe that could be a reason for it. I can't rationalize it.
Wow.
I can't rationalize the fact that he kept and is continuing to keep Corinne and got rid of Christina. That I cannot understand that. Not that I don't like Corinne, like, cause she's, I have a weird back and forth relationship with her. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is cute and hilarious. And sometimes I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, but that's like, what immature people do.
Right. So I cannot wrap my mind around the fact that he was rationalizing with himself that he was going to meet Corinne's family and not meet Christina's family. That doesn't make sense to me.
That doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
I'm so high on Christina.
Yeah, you are.
I started at the beginning of this episode, I was like, wow. She started off kind of slow. She is really turning it on.
Turning it on.
Wait a second. Maybe she's just really turning me on.
No, she was turning everybody on.
Yeah.
We had a lot of conversations about Christina in the meantime, and this was just a lot. And the one other thing that I will say is that based off of this episode alone, the women tell all is about to be lit.
It's
going to be crazy.
Well, I mean, they don't have to do the Bachelorette auditions.
They sure don't.
So I guess they're going to have time.
Have time to talk to everybody.
I really think the crowd is going to be in Christina's corner hard.
I really think so. She is somebody
that... She's so likable.
She's so likable. I think she's somebody that on BIP, she could get a lot of airtime. For sure. If that's something she's interested in. She doesn't seem like somebody that
she's
would be
so
into
cute.
That. She doesn't seem like somebody that would be into like going on Bachelor in
Paradise.
This
is America. Everyone's into being on TV. It's like it's in the Constitution. It's like everyone loves celebrity and their piece of it.
But I don't know if that's her bag, man. I just don't.
All right. Let's keep going. So the episode starts. We're in the Bahamas. There's this like general malaise and unease that's just sinking in over everyone because Danielle L. just lost and everyone's like, wait, the hot one?
I feel like everybody...
Sorry, the sexy one.
The sexy
we just
one.
Talked
thank
about
you, thank
this.
Thank you. Anybody that would come into this situation and read Nick's response to breaking up with Danielle and coming to the women and having this whole like emotional breakdown and saying like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then coming back to you the next day and then all of a sudden being like, okay, I'm good. Everything's fine. Like, wouldn't you think that that is a huge red flag in your relationship that you, your partner cannot appropriately like wrangle in and understand their own emotions to be articulate enough with you to say, I'm having a trouble with this. I'm going to talk it through with you rather than disappearing for like 48 hours in a haze of sex and drugs and then coming back to you and saying, I'm good. Sorry.
Drugs. Okay.
I mean, I mean, you know.
So the whole unease thing is like this is Nick's low point. Like this is the one really, really, really bad thing about Nick.
Right.
So here's what happens, right? He lets Danielle L. go last week and then he comes back to the house and he's like, I'm so sad about what just happened. And you're like, dude, you're not the victim.
Yeah.
You're the perpetrator. You did this.
Bingo.
You can't be upset
Bingo.
Because you made this decision.
Bingo.
But at this point, you really have to wonder, is he really somebody who like the process is wearing down? Or is he just a masochism exhibitionist?
I think so. Because, I mean, he's been on this show how many times and has...
And he always thinks he's the
always
victim.
Always thinks he's the victim. And he's finally in a place of power and control where he gets to decide. I mean, he's breaking up with these women left and right. Like, wouldn't you think for one second that you actually have the power in this situation? You're the one sending people home.
How does he not get that?
I don't know.
He can't go in this date with Danielle L., which she won.
Hello?
He goes on a 2-on-1 date. She wins it. And then he goes, oh, by the way, you're out of here. And then he goes home like, I don't know what happened. I just, like, I'm the victim. Now the sexy
right.
one is taken. Like, dude.
And I don't know if anybody's going to love me the way that I love them. Are you kidding me? She is falling all over herself.
When this show is about you, you have to be stronger. You
totally.
Cannot do this.
And he is, I think he just doesn't have it. The emotional sort of heft and confidence, because confidence is a huge problem for him. He just doesn't have the confidence to be the Bachelor.
Speaking is a huge problem for him.
Speaking is also a huge problem with him.
He can't, like, it's weird. And then all the women are affected by this. It's his fault. He's poisoning his own well.
Yes, he's poisoning his own well, and the women are pretty much sitting there trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, my God, they spent the whole week in this hotel room talking to each other, crying and drinking wine. I mean, it sounds like a weekend at home by myself watching The Imitation of Life.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
Which is very fun, but not something I want to do for a whole week.
Right. So anyway, so he tries, his strategy or whatever, the show's strategy, whatever, to reduce the stress and everyone's worry is he's like, guess what? I'm going to go on a 1-on-1 date with the one girl that I actually love, right?
Which feels great.
So he goes on a 1-on-1 date with Vanessa.
Wow.
Who is a total babe.
TTP,
and it's like you kind of forget how great she is in the midst of all this drama.
Yeah.
Vanessa is, knowing what we know about who is going to be the next Bachelorette, which we will get into later.
We have to.
Knowing what we know. There is no way he doesn't pick Vanessa.
None.
She is perfect.
She has everything going for her. She is, you know, worldly. She's kind. She's crazy smart. She's empathetic. I mean, she always loves to say these stories about her big Italian family making pastas on Sunday.
Because... Which is ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Because big Italian families, you don't make pasta.
Okay.
You make a sauce.
Uh-huh.
The pasta you just buy and boil. You don't make it.
That's right, Adam. That's right. It's
fallacious.
Yep. That just is ridiculous.
You make a sauce.
Right. You make a sauce. Yep.
I don't want to act like I'm offended because I'm hungry instead of anything else.
Sure.
But please.
Do you want to tell us more about your Italian family and continue to tell us how great being an Italian family
Italian
is?
Italian people are the best. Whatever. You're in an Italian family now, too.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I?
You love it.
Do I?
Anyway.
I'm always full.
So,
which I hate.
That's weird. So Vanessa gets on this boat, and you're like, wait a second, she's a knockout, right?
Yeah,
she got her hair is blowing in the wind. She got like the best hair in like decades on this show.
Well, I'm so horned up.
And that's it. And they have this wonderful date, and you're like, you know what?
And whenever they talk, their conversations are always about something. You don't feel like they're just making out and just saying yeah like into each other's lips. You know?
I feel like he's doing that. She was talking to him, and he's kind of like.
He's listening, you know, like she's talking and the words are like spinning around his head like a tornado. He's like, yeah, totally.
He's like mumbling lukewarm nothings into her
exactly.
ear.
Exactly.
And that's what he does. And like for some reason, it kind of calms her or whatever. But,
so we get to the evening and Vanessa professes her love to Nick. And I mean, not an I'm falling in love with you sort of situation. It is... And I direct, I love you. And as we know, this is about the time frame that people start saying, I love you. And this is also about the time frame
yeah.
where people are very clear that, you know, we know that the bachelor or bachelorette can't say anything back. Ben Higgins, who is an idiot, said that he loved everybody. And now, basically, him and his fiance are breaking up. Even though everybody's saying that they're together or whatever, whatever. The jig is up. It's over. However...
He said, I love you twice. Lauren had two faces. So it kind of, like, one for each.
It evens
one.
Out.
He just accidentally said one to somebody else.
He did. So Nick, you know, says the requisite bachelor speech, which I understand. But for Vanessa, I don't know if she's watched this show before. Because she was really angry that he didn't say I love you back. And I kind of wanted to be like, okay, girl, among everything else, you look great in that dress. Like, I mean, so good. But, you know, you know that he can't tell you that he loves you, right?
No, it's over. She ran away with it. Like, it's over, and this group date, or this one-on-one date, just sealed it. It's over.
But
she won. She already won.
She is pissed, though. I mean, she'll be pissed, and then she won't be pissed.
I don't think she is.
She was pissed in that moment, and then she was like, no, I'm good.
I think she knows she has it won. It would be, I mean, you know what, though? I was, prior to the last... The end of this episode, I was saying, I can't believe Christina could possibly leave.
And here we are.
What an idiot.
And here we are.
So then we go on this group date.
So
actually, some context.
Sure.
So this week there are 3 one-on-ones and a group date. And there is actually a rose on the group date, but not the one-on-ones.
Correct.
So the one-on-ones go to the 3 women who we've been saying all year are the top 3, right? Vanessa, obviously things are going well. Rachel and Danielle M. So, and I think everyone in the house kind of knows this too. So it appears that this date is kind of like a 3-on-1.
The linchpin. This is the linchpin.
This is a 3-on-1 for the final rose.
Right.
It would appear to be.
Yes.
So we get on. They're just driving around a boat. Like every day, is just riding around a boat or a bike and then just like getting a drink.
Right. That's Corinne every day and Raven and Christina are all on this group date. And Nick is really vibing really well with Christina. I mean, he's putting sunscreen on her inner thighs. Very sexual for late night television. I mean, he's all over her. She's laying on him. He's putting his arm around her. I mean, would give you no inclination that he was thinking anything other than wanting to keep her around forever and ever.
They're on this boat ride and like her hair's like blowing in the wind, like a model shoot.
Yes,
and like meanwhile,
yes.
Corinne and Raven are like having hurricanes happen in their hair. It's like blowing all around in circles.
Right.
I'm like, this does not make sense.
That's why you sit on the opposite side of the wind. You always gotta be down.
These idiots.
Always.
So we get to this spot. We stop and like jump out and they're like, guess what?
We're swimming for sharks. Oh my God. We're swimming for sharks. It's Sharknado. Corinne is starting to have a meltdown because... You know, as we all have started to realize, she's like, okay, I am very clearly the odd man out among everything else.
If Corinne were an X-Man, her power would be insecurity.
Yes.
She is.
And so would Nix.
She is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, his power would be inability to speak human language.
Right.
Corinne's would be never knowing that she has done enough.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. So we all jump in. We're swimming. Sharks. We're swimming, whatever.
It's cute. It's cute.
Christina's
it's cute.
Like, oh no, I'm having a hard time with this.
And it's fine.
She does it adorably. She gets in the boat. Nick's like, I'm so worried about this person. And then the other two women are like,
okay, I'm still swimming with sharks. I'm swimming with sharks. So we go to the evening date, and Corinne is, again, continuing to still have her meltdown. Christina is being fabulous.
She's sparkling through the whole date. She has this smile, yeah. And it's just like, she's shining the whole time.
And Nick does address a little bit that he hasn't had as much time with her as the other women, but it also does seem like that it's the kind of situation where he's making up for lost time for her, which is great because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, somebody has all, it's almost a love story where someone has always been around and then you finally like notice them once they stand on a different side of your body. It's like that.
Are you talking about you and me?
No, I'm talking about somebody else completely that is not you.
Oh, are you in love with somebody else?
Yeah.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
I love you too.
So Christina, I feel like, had a good thing with Nick, and then we get to Raven. This was the most strategic move I've seen.
Total coup of all time.
Of this entire season. And kudos to Raven for bringing up the sob story the week before
the date where the date gets you to the hometown. The rose gets you to the hometown.
This was masterful.
You really got to think. Did she do this on purpose or did she just forget earlier?
Honey, I think you have really underestimated Raven.
I definitely have.
You definitely have.
I cannot get over the dumb accent. I can't get over it.
I think that's just how she talks because this rocked the
I don't care if she's like, it's time for me to go accept my Nobel Prize for economics or physics or something. Saying Tom instead of time, like Thomas, shortened Tom instead of time, I cannot get over that.
So Raven brings up the fact that she was in law school. New information for everybody. She was in law school and then she left law school to take care of her father who had lung cancer.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, genius. Nobody knew about this until now.
So she came home to Hoxie, Arkansas to open up.
It was time to come home.
It was really, you know? To open up this clothing store. And we all thought, oh, she's just a small town business owner. She thinks she's cute doing all this stuff. No, she was in law school being a lawyer. And then her dad got sick and she came home. That is a story.
Makes you think.
It really does.
She waited, you know, it's standard protocol to wait till you're one-on-one and then unleash that story.
She had a one-on-one.
She went through the whole one-on-one without dropping the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That is the most masterful strategic move I've ever seen on this show. And you know what? It worked because really, she got a rose.
It really does seem like she stole it from Christina.
She really did. She really did. Raven is a good player at this game. She knows how to play this game. She uses her percent. She never talks about anybody else on the show except that one time she talked about Corinne, but everybody was talking about Corinne.
That's the trick.
She has used her percent. She has been optimal about when she drops information.
Oh, she was even withholding some percent her final percent.
Girl, say it. She withheld some percent. She was on that show. She talked about the breaking up with the guy. And Nick was like, yeah, I'm kind of into your wildness. And then she said, but wait, here, I'm soft too. Because I went home to take care of my dad who was dying. Boom.
You know, she plays the game well. For somebody as physically not capable of being in the top four,
honey,
she has made up for it with the rest by a long... Well, like, listen, at the beginning of the show, when we were just looking at pictures, would you possibly have been like, this is one of the four most attractive women?
She's Kaiser Sose-ing you.
She has overcome that so much.
It's not even overcoming it. She Kaiser Sose-ed you.
I still don't believe it. Does he know that Christina was an option? I can't believe that.
So we go on our next one-on-one date. Meanwhile, Nick loves short shorts.
Yeah.
I've seen so much of his upper thigh. But you know what? At least he tans his whole body. So we know that the space between his knees and his balls are not white.
Right.
So that's something.
So we go Danielle M's 101 date.
Which is more walking around this place. Bimini.
I have...
Bibbidi-boppidi-boo.
This is a word I have never heard.
I don't understand.
I'm a, like, relatively educated person.
I've never heard this word. I never knew that this was even an island, so
thank you so much. The coast of the country it where we live. Amazing. I've never heard of it.
It's, like, just a quick jaunt from Miami. It's amazing.
It's like a moderate swim from America. And I didn't know about it.
Okay. So we go on our one-on-one date with Danielle M. She's not really saying much.
There's something that's obvious that we need to talk about. She got destroyed by that, like, 7-year-old boy playing basketball.
Oh my god, I missed that.
He blocked her like Dikembe Mutombo.
with the fingers knotted here.
She had no ups. I think that was really the nail on the coffin.
I don't know how she had no ups, because, I mean, my god, she's 8 feet tall.
So they sit down, like, whatever. They just troll around. They get some beers, whatever. And they're sitting down, and Nick's, like, so hometowns. And, like, she's kind of from his hometown.
Yeah, basically.
And he's really not excited about going.
Well, you know, I think
he... I mean, he'd already made up his mind, right?
I think he'd already made up his mind.
This is a one-on-one date, like, to take you out behind the shed and just get rid of you.
Give her the old yeller. So... You know, they just didn't really seem to have, like...
Spoiler alert, if you've never read... Oh, sorry!
Oh, man.
It's a sweet story about this dog.
Oh, God. Timmy loves his dog. More of the story. Don't let your dogs play with raccoons.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Don't do that. So, after watching the level of dialogue that he had with a lot of these other women, especially Vanessa, and knowing the connection he has with Rachel... I can see why it's challenging for him to feel like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with Danielle. We can't even talk. Because that's a big deal for him, being able to talk like that.
Interesting, because his speaking abilities are so poor.
I think he just, it's the lisp. It's the lisp and the veneers. You know, it's the talking with his hand over his mouth.
So here's another important aspect to bring up about strategy.
Okay.
Danielle M. did the opposite of what Raven did.
Yes!
Okay?
Oh my God,
so
yes.
On Danielle's first one-on-one date, like at the beginning of the season, she goes into her sob story at the beginning. So her sob story really is sad. She was engaged, she was in love, whatever, and he died, and she found him. But, like, between them getting engaged and when they were going to get married.
Yeah, I think it was, like, three or four months after they got engaged.
Really sad story. Like, not quite Christina sad, but, like, a very sad story. So he knows this. And she brings it up again on their date. She's like, I was in love once before, and he died.
And it didn't work out. Girl, it more than didn't work out. He died.
So
I'm sorry, but...
So, basically, Nick's like, whatever, this isn't going to work. And then we have this really weird thing... Where she has to go pick up all of her own stuff from the house.
Yeah, that was really weird.
She's removed. She's no longer in the game. And she goes back to the house. And, like, the other girls, of course, are in this mixed emotions thing. Where they're like, oh, we're friends with this woman. And she's been nice to us. But
the thing is, because of the way the rose ceremony things were going to work out, everybody had to come back to the house anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if... I mean, but there was no expectation that... he would kick somebody off on a one-on-one date.
But everyone is looking around and realizing their percentages just went from 4 and 6 to now 4 and 5.
Right.
A leap. Of
very quickly.
13 and 1/3%
Without any warning. Like, you know, we at work, when we are talking about the Bachelor bracket and week to week, and many people who watch the franchise are so frustrated by there not being any structure to the show. Because that provides some level of clarity. You know, you get to the end of the show and you do a cocktail ceremony. You do the cocktail party and then you do the roast ceremony. And then you start fresh the next week. There is none of that. It is literally, we haven't had a roast ceremony in weeks. Because it's just been one long
massacre
of firing squad. Of Nick just saying, nope. I don't like you. I don't like you. And it's... I can understand why the women are kind of like, I don't know when my time is going to be. I don't know when someone's going to pick me up and put me in a shower. Sorry.
So, whatever. So, Danielle M., she's done. It was kind of a blow up at the end.
And it was really sad. Like, I mean, people really liked her, and I liked her, too. I mean, she's crazy sweet. She's super nice, and, like, you know,
boring.
I didn't see it coming.
The number one sin is to be boring.
So, we clearly have gotten to a crossroads. So now
we're gonna go off the beaten path a little bit, off the dates, off the programs, off the everything, for Corinne's intervention.
So Corinne, because as we have discussed, is painfully insecure, decides to take it upon herself to sort of bring Nick's spirits back up. She wanted to make sure that she solidified herself to bring him to her hometown. And now, at this point in the show, I'm thinking, and you're thinking, this isn't going to happen. Like, Christina's a lock. Of course Corinne's going to go home. You know, he's going to maybe sleep with her or not, and then send her home and feel bad, and then, you know, whatever. But for once in his godforsaken life, Nick had some self-control.
So, yeah. So if you're the type of person who doesn't watch the show and just listens to ours, Corinne shows up at Nick's hotel room after their date, after the group date. She's like, I'm not sure I locked it down. I'm going to show up at the hotel and I'm going to seduce him into sleeping with me. And that is going to lock up my final hometown date.
And based on the symptoms of Nick in a general sense, I did not have a lot of faith that he would have turned this down.
A lot of things that I thought were impossible happened this
time. That is for
a lot of things that were impossible happened. So she shows up. She's like, listen.
She got this great low V-neck top on, which I really, really like.
She's like, listen, I just want to talk to you, make sure you're okay, but I just want to do it in the bed.
I'd also like to talk to you with my mouth.
Yes.
On things.
Right. So he's like, yeah, sure, let's get in the bed. And they, like, the door closes and, things, you know, escalate, of course the microphone softly is still on. And he's like, I don't think we should do this.
They add some Foley in with somebody's zipper unzipping, which was so grotesque.
So all of this happens. And at the end of it, he's like, I don't want this with you.
I have gotten into trouble doing this before. And I'm going to not get in trouble doing this again.
Which was unexpected.
It was very unexpected, among everything else.
I just, like, if you listen back to what we both predicted was going to happen this episode,
is not what we thought was going to happen.
Everything was unexpected.
Everything went totally wrong, and we are so sorry if you banked your brackets on anything we said. Because, you know what? The show is unpredictable this season. It really is.
I can't believe Corinne is still in.
Corinne is still on this show.
Whatever. So this brief surprise with Corinne happens.
And you know what? And because he didn't actually have sex with her and all he did was kind of make out with her, which he would have done on a group date anyway, he doesn't really have to tell anybody that it happened.
No, and like, and even better yet, the house is not going to get upset with her for this. Mm-mm. Because it doesn't matter what her intentions were. It matters what actually happened.
Right, and it matters what he did. Based on all of this other drama that he's been embroiled in, based on his history with the show, based on all this stuff, because I'm sure they would have assumed that he did the same thing that we thought he would have done, have sex with Corinne and ruin this whole thing. But the fact that he didn't do that, I think, would win them points for him. I mean, not that he deserves it.
He's all over the place.
He is over the place.
Right. So that's the thing with Corinne. Whatever. Back to the regularly scheduled programming.
The piece de resistance,
He has a very brief one-on-one date with Rachel, which...
with no evening portion.
It's sort of... because he had a
daytime,
like,
and an evening portion with Vanessa, so I don't know why...
It's just like the show cleansing itself. It's the show going, you know what? You need one act between commercials of just... a return to sanity. Right.
Or maybe he only had the morning version with Rachel because he knew, I'm going to pick her. I'm going to go to her hometown, so I don't need to do an evening thing with her.
Yeah. No, he made up his mind with her.
He's known for weeks that he's wanted to go home with Rachel, for sure.
Yeah, I think that was it. He had nothing to figure out. And, like, right. The show was just like, listen, everything's been weird, so why don't we just, like, you two just go kiss each other and have a good time. And, like, they did.
And the one thing that I will say that I did appreciate, you know, having the conversation about, you know, what is it going to be like when I go home to your family, and the fact that she said, you know, I've never brought a white guy home. I don't bring a lot of people home in general, and you being white is not going to be an issue for my family. It's just the fact that, you know, I don't really do this a lot, and when I do, it's a big deal. And I thought, and based on everything that is now currently happening with Rachel, which is what we will talk about in a Mo, I thought that was a nice thing for them to mention.
I mean, it's good for us to know, sort of for context, but at the same time, I think the parents, the mom and dad of every single girl on this show,
it would say the same thing, you know, regardless.
They all say when they know their daughter's going to go on the show, they go, there's no way she doesn't come home with him. Because of course you would think that your daughter is going to be attractive and that she's the whole package and everything.
Sure.
Of course you would think that.
Sure.
And, you know, when their daughter goes on the show, the parents are going to look up the guy and see what he's like.
Right.
It's not going to be a surprise that Nick is white to them.
Right.
You know, it's not like they haven't been expecting it. Right. I would think every parent expects their daughter to make hometowns.
Right. And I think the one thing that, you know, is the only challenge probably would be that Nick's reputation really does precede himself. And I mean, you know, regardless of if he's coming home as a white guy to an entirely black family or something like that, I mean, he has not had a really good track record on the show and with women in a general sense. And that probably worries me more than anything.
Yeah, the good news is Rachel's family doesn't need to worry about it because she's the next Bachelor.
Bingo!
So it doesn't even matter. Whatever, we're going to talk about that at the end of the episode.
I'm so excited. Right?
So Rachel's date goes, it's very short, it's brief, but it's 100% positive.
Right. So she comes home, everybody's talking about the cocktail hour, whatever. Nick has another sit down with Chris Harrison, who made two appearances in this show, which was very surprising to me.
There are no rose ceremonies, so they got to get him in somehow.
It's like, Chris, what are you doing tonight? So Nick realizes that he needs to say goodbye to one person. Now, the editing on the show has been unbelievably deceptive. So we have been led to believe that based on how things are going on the show, that Corinne is having a meltdown. She could not possibly make it to hometowns.
She couldn't be attractive to a person this deep in the game.
No, she's been trying so hard to get herself together. The insecurity is bubbling up from her
and
vagina.
At the same time, Christina is full speed.
Full speed.
She gets stronger every episode.
She gets stronger every day.
She's so cute.
Yes.
Yes. She's a princess.
All of that is true. And Nick walks into their bungalow.
Bungalow.
Thank you.
Is the right word, yep.
And Corinne is thinking to herself, oh my God, this is it. And he says, can I talk to Christina? You could hear a pin drop in this apartment, guys.
You could hear me throwing up in the corner.
You could hear a pin drop. And I said, no, this cannot be happening. You cannot mean to tell me that you are getting rid of Christina right now?
I thought maybe he was just going to tell Christina first that he was just getting rid of Corinne.
Me too.
Hey, is Christina here? Hey, you're in. Corinne,
see you later. Yeah. No. He completely got rid of her. And Christina was like, I don't understand. And I agree with her wholeheartedly.
The only explanation is that he has already decided he's picking Vanessa and he's just letting everyone else go at random.
Yeah. And I mean, her whole thing, she's like, you didn't even give me a fair chance. I believe it. And I think, you know, with the way that he kind of said this, he's like,
I'd give her a fair chance.
Totally. I know you would. The way that he said it, you know, talking about how, you know, you deserve someone so much better than me and that kind of thing. You know, he really, I think, internalized that, you know, beautiful Russian orphan child thing and somehow was trying to save her from his, you know, mess of confusion.
I think it's always a cop-out. People on this show love to say, listen, I don't like you, but it's because you're so wonderful and you deserve somebody so great. And like, no. That's not what they want.
No, that's not what they want. Okay. And that's not what you mean. Don't lie to me and tell me.
But everyone does.
That's some crap that is a lie.
Is that just it? It was like when JoJo got rid of James Taylor and she's like, you deserve somebody. And he's like, listen, I think you're that person.
You are that person. Don't tell me what I deserve.
It's
just
a cop out.
Don't like me.
It's a cop out.
Just tell me you don't like me.
It's not you, it's me of this show.
I hate that.
You know?
I hate that.
Whatever.
And I mean, Christina, who had been pretty much stone-faced for this entire episode.
Cute stone.
Finally broke down. And, you know, like I said early on in the episode, I really think that some of the reason that Nick couldn't really connect with her was that, you know, he needs somebody to really coddle and judge and tell him everything's going to be okay. And she's not
that. She doesn't need that.
She doesn't need that person. She doesn't need that. She's like, I'm good. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, brother.
So that's what happened in the show.
So that was the end of the show. Obviously, we'll get to some bold predictions. And we'll talk about Rachel a little bit later. But let's talk about our power rankings, Adam. Who's your number four?
Raven. No part of me has ever been attracted 1 ounce to Raven.
My number four is Rachel.
That seems to make logical sense. But then again, you're picking for him and I'm picking for
him. I'm picking for him. But my number four is Rachel only because...
she can't win. It's impossible to watch this show and think she can win.
She's not going to win. And I love her and I adore her and I'm so excited about next season.
Okay. My number three is Corinne.
Interesting. My number three is also Corinne.
I'm not attracted to her.
I have a bold prediction about what I think is going to happen. That is why Corinne is number three.
Fantastic.
I'm not going to get to it yet.
My number two is Rachel.
Okay. Why? Why, Adam?
Because she's not Vanessa, but she is the most attractive outside of that.
My number two is Raven. And our number one is Vanessa, because, I mean,
she has to win.
My God, Vanessa has to win. So, now that we're on to the best part of the show. So, today, it was...
curious.
Let's go through the entire timeline.
Why don't you take it?
So, earlier today, Reality Steve released a report that said that Rachel is confirmed to be the Bachelorette. The week before that, one of the writers that I follow at the LA Times, who is a very strong and serious and intense Bachelor fan, also reported that Rachel was going to be the next Bachelorette. So, right before the East Coast episode came on, Robert Fleiss. Or one of the guys that's the producer of The Bachelor, released a tweet that said there is going to be a historic Bachelor announcement tonight.
On
Jimmy Kimmel. He tweeted that. And then the news story came out that said Rachel is the next Bachelorette. So that is the turn of events. That's how it happened. You know, because everybody has been talking to me about, like, well, why would they release it so early and it's leaking and that kind of thing.
Here's
my theory, because I know television. Jimmy Kimmel is not live.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel is live to tape. So they shoot those episodes early in the afternoon. So when you're watching it at home at 11:35 p.m., they shot that at 2 o'clock. LA time. So the jig is up, it's over. So it would have leaked from there and it had already started to come out. So ABC had to do something in order for them to stay ahead of the news cycle.
But why? Because every year Reality Steve spoils the winner before the season even starts and ABC doesn't address it. They just keep going on with their stuff and they could have totally done that. It's going to wreck this season.
The only thing that I would say about that is that because we've already looked up and read, you know, Rachel's thing that was on Jimmy Kimmel, and she said that taping for the show is going to start in a couple weeks, and the season will premiere in May, in the end of May.
That's so standard.
It's a standard. So what I think is going to happen is I think they might have to go back and look at some of the guys that they have and reselect based on Rachel. That's what I think. I think that they might have to go back through the list and kind of do a deeper dive into some of the guys that would be considered for her season. And I think that's part of why they also wanted to release it a little bit early.
But last year, you might remember, they picked Kayla.
I understand.
Started filming, didn't announce anything.
I understand.
Canceled with her and started again with JoJo after the Women Tell All because that's the trial ground. That's the
right.
The precursor to the, right. To the Bachelor.
Right.
To the Bachelorette.
And there had been such a groundswell for Rachel on the internet ever since she started on the show with the First Impression Rose. Like, the people wanted Rachel.
But, like, the people... I wanted Rachel to have a shot to win.
I did, too. But, you know, here's to say that, you know... And here's the other thing that I'll say. Now we know that whoever's in the top two does not include Rachel. Because they still have to create some sort of suspense for who he's going to pick.
Right.
So at least she gets beyond the final... She gets to the final three. But we knew that because she's clearly in the trailer in Finland.
So obviously, we both think Corinne is going to get fourth, right?
That is what we think right now. Yes.
And then it's going to be between Raven and Vanessa for the championship.
You're right.
All right. Ultimate timeline. Rachel wins, and she says no.
Ooh, girl! Adam!
I said last week or 2 weeks ago in Bold Predictions that he was going to propose to somebody and they were going to say no. I still think that's going to happen.
I don't know, though. I don't think...
No.
Based on...
Like, what I really, really, really think is going to happen is that he's going to propose to Vanessa and because obviously.
Obviously.
And she's going to say yes, and whatever.
Right.
I don't think it's unlikely. I think the second most likely scenario is he picks Rachel and she says no.
I don't, after all this, you think after all of this relationship that they've built up on this show, she would say no to him? Something would have had to have happened.
He's Nick. Something happened before the season started. Everything happened before the season started.
Everything happens.
For the majority of contestants on this show, the prize is not the Bachelor or the Bachelorette.
No.
The prize is getting your season next.
Right.
It is not...
So Rachel's already won, clearly.
Well, yeah, but there's a chance she could win both, the man and also the season.
So,
and just decline one.
So here's another one of my bold predictions. Are you ready? I know a lot of my bold predictions have been slightly off, so please take
these. A lot
of
your bold predictions tonight are reading the news and reporting them on camera.
Hey!
Or on air.
I read stuff, okay? Sorry.
That's what I said.
Sorry for pointing at you like that. I don't think Nick is going to take anyone home.
To his home?
To their homes.
Oh. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that Nick is going to make a second elimination at the beginning of next week's episode that involves Corinne. We will get down to three people, and he will take them to the three women to Finland and have the fantasy suite experience. And then we'll get to the final two. And then
you think he's going to eliminate Rachel?
I think
she will get third.
I think she will get third.
And he'll go just Raven and Vanessa for the
yes,
ship.
Yes, but I don't think he is going to go to anybody's home. Because he said it a number of times where he's talked about, you know, he doesn't want to go into this weird situation with these women's dads who don't know him and ask for their daughter's hand in marriage. He said that a lot. And you know Nick, he's so insecure that he doesn't want to, you know, have anybody not like him. And that he can't handle. So that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think there's any hometowns.
I mean, I think he meets everyone. I think he meets all four of them. I think he goes, Corinne, get out right now. If he wanted to have sex with her, he would have just done it.
Exactly. That's right? True. So
the door was open.
Bingo. Right there. So that's the smartest thing he said all night.
Yeah.
I stand by my statement.
So then he goes to the fantasy suite with Raven and Rachel and Vanessa, and it's so clear he has to pick Vanessa. It's like he has to. She's a dream.
I still stand by the fact that he is not going to anyone's hometown.
We disagree on that. Anyway, it's been a week. It's been
Jesus,
an episode.
Mary and Joseph.
I can't believe Christina's not in it. I can't believe we're not going to get
to
meet her.
If that's the big news of the week, let that be the big news of the week, that Christina is no longer in the running to become America's next top bachelorette.
She was so wonderful.
She was so wonderful. Like,
of all the words on the spectrum or whatever, cute is the one that I prefer by a long way. I was so into Christina.
Well, thanks to the new president of ABC for making Rachel Lindsay the next bachelorette. I'm really excited. Thank you for Black Girl Magic, and it's all getting ready to happen in May, and I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do that season two, so, you know.
I know.
Listen to season 9.
I'm so excited. It's so, so great. So, thanks for joining us this week, guys, and we'll see you on the show. Same time next week.
I think my time on the Bachelor franchise is probably complete.
You get to be the Bachelor, you get to meet 25 at least amazing women, but
it's not a normal environment. It's a very unrealistic situation. It's real to you. A lot of people ask me, how's Chris Harrison? Really popular. Dabbled in modeling a little bit. People really like TVs.